You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome all to the Eagle Sports Zone. My name is Hende. I'll be with you until the hours of 8 p.m. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, Eagle FM's very own in-house sporting program, we're going to talk all things cycling. This is on the backdrop of the recently concluded, recently being today, a few hours ago, or several hours ago now, Nedbank Cycle Challenge. The 40th one took place this year in Windhoek. Close to 300 cyclists got up at the crack of dawn, literally, to participate in the 40th edition of the Nedbank Cycle Challenge. It consisted of 25 kilometer, 60 kilometer, and 100 kilometer courses, of which we will get into in just a moment. And we'll discuss some continental cycling as well to frame the whole discussion of the growth of cycling, not only in Namibia, but on the continent as well. So cycling has been growing on the continent for some years now, with primarily the East Africans taking charge of that, but it is very much becoming a powerhouse. Probably, maybe next to cricket and swimming. I'll say those are our big three. You know, we used to say our big three are soccer, netball, and rugby, but now the results say something else. The new big three in the sporting world of Namibia is cycling, cricket, and swimming. If you'd like to challenge that, do call in at 0832-888-401. The number in the studio is 0832-888-401. And as always, if you aren't already, do follow us on our social media pages. That is Eagle FM in Namibia on Facebook, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, even WhatsApp. We have a WhatsApp channel for you that will give you the latest and greatest news on the hour, every hour, pinged directly to your mobile device. If you'd like to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That is 081-200-4144. That is also the same number you can use to subscribe to the Villager newspaper, which will be published tomorrow morning. That is your best publication for business, economic, policy-related, industrial-related, agricultural-related, sporting sometimes, by yours truly. So make sure you have a copy of The Villager. It is completely free. It costs you a total of $0.00. All you have to do is send a WhatsApp message and save the following number as a contact. Very important that you save the number as a contact and tell them that you'd like to become a subscriber. And you will get The Villager pinged directly to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. That is 081-200-4144. You can also include your email address if you'd like to receive it via email. And as always, you can tune into your favorite talk radio station wherever you are in the world simply by downloading a wonderful app, a fantastic application. Objectively speaking, a fantastic application, that is the Eagle FM mobile application. Wherever you are in the world, you can tune in to your favorite talk radio station. So whether you're in Namibia, whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in Ghana, whether you're in England, whether you're in China, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Argentina, you can tune in to your favorite talk radio station simply by downloading the Eagle FM mobile application. As well as you can also alternatively, you can listen to us on our website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. And since we do have listeners from all over the world, you know, on today's show, I must wish all our Muslim brothers and sisters listening a happy Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak, to all our Muslim followers as well as our Christian followers who are practicing Lent at the moment. Here at the Eagle Sports Zone, we welcome all religions, all races, all demographics are welcomed here on the Eagle Sports Zone. So Ramadan Kareem to everyone. And we will start our show today with Namibian Premier League results. We'll start with round 19, that took place on a Saturday, that being yesterday. And those results are as follows. Defending champions African Stars took on Mighty Gunners, beating them 1-0. FC Ongos played to a 1-1 draw with Young African 11 Arrows, and Chula Chula played to a 1-1 draw as well. Another draw was between UNAM FC as well as Tigers FC. Juninho Athletic picked up 3 points on Saturday by beating Okahandja United 2-1. Blue Waters lost to KK Palace 3-2. Commerce Nampo beat Life Fighters 2-1. The Bucks Buccaneers beat Rundu Chiefs 1-0. And after those results, African Stars climbed back to the top of the table. But things changed today, my friends. Things changed today because Chula Chula beat Blue Waters, putting them back at the top of the table. They beat Blue Waters 2-0. Petrus Festus, a.k.a. Shakes, and Somsep Christian were on the scoreline. Other full-time results from around the 20. We had Rundu Chiefs beating Okahandja United 2-0. You had 11 Arrows and KK Palace playing to a 3-3 draw. Bucks Buccaneers lost 2-1 to Juninho Athletic, so Juninho picked up a crucial 6 points this weekend. And African Stars beat Life Fighters 3-0. FC Ongos and Tigers drew 0-0. And then the matches between UNAM and Young African, as well as Commerce Nampo and Mighty Gunners, were abandoned due to heavy rainfall. So still heavy rainfall happening across the country. Sure, our farmers are very happy about that one, but those two matches had to be abandoned and they will be played at a later date. Moving on to the English Premier League, we have Liverpool that played against Nottingham Forest, beating them 1-0. That was today. Alexis McAllister with a 97th minute goal. Another fixture today is probably the fixture of the weekend. That is Tottenham Hotspur against Arsenal, the North London derby that just kicked off right now, 1 minute ago. And of course, if anything changes in that fixture, I will be able to give you a timely update on that. Other Premier League fixtures that took place this weekend, we had Chelsea in action yesterday. They played to a 1-1 draw with Burnley, and then Manchester City beat Newcastle United 2-1. So the English Premier League table as it stands right now, you have Arsenal on 59 points. That's if the match were to end in a draw. Manchester City on 56 points. Aston Villa on 51 points in third place. And then Chelsea in fourth place on 45 points, trailed closely, not only by the Red Devils, actually by Liverpool as well, who, by the way, are defending champions, all on 45 points. Manchester United have the opportunity to create some distance between themselves and the chasing pack for the final place in the top four. That is if they beat Everton away tomorrow evening on Monday Night Football. Moving over to Spain, Real Madrid. Quite surprising result in La Liga. They lost 2-1 to Osasuna. Barcelona in action right now against Levante. It is the 53rd minute. Barcelona up 2-0, thanks to goals from Frankie de Jong and Marc Bernal. And how the table looks over in España. Right now, as things stand, Barcelona lead Real Madrid by 1 point. That is on 61 points. Real Madrid on 60. Considerable distance between them and the rest of the top four, because Villarreal are on 48 points as well as Atletico Madrid on 48 points as well. So a 12-point gap between third and fourth place and second place. And a updated table for you in the Namibian Premier League right now as things stand after the week 19 and 20 fixtures. We have African Stars on top of the table, leading simply by 2 goals, leading on goal difference, because them and Chula Chula both have 41 points. Those two definitely in a very tight title race that seems to shift every single match day. And not too far behind them. It is 7 points, but remember, in our league, the teams play 2 games per weekend, so things could change 6 points one way or 6 points the other way every single weekend, and that Mighty Gunners will be mindful of that since they are in third place on 34 points. In fourth, you have FC Ongos on 33 points. In fifth, you have UNAM on 28 points. As well as Commerce Nampo in 6 on 28 points as well. Another 28 points team is KK Palace, who are in 7th. 11 Arrows are on 26 points in 8th place. Bucks Buccaneers on the 26 points as well in the ninth place. And then you have Blue Waters on the 21 points in 10th place. Julinho finally out of the relegation zone on 20 points from 11th to 16th. Things get very interesting. There's only 6 points between the very last team. Let's make it 7. There's only 7 points between the very last team and the 10th place team in the league. So Rumble Chiefs are on 20 points as well. Young African on 19 points. Okahandja United on 19 points in the relegation zone. Tigers in the relegation zone as well on 16 points. And then in last place is Life Fighters on 14 points. And even though things might seem stark for Life Fighters, like I said, it's a 6-point swing every single weekend. So, like Julinho picking up 6 points, we see where they are now. Life Fighters could do the very same next weekend if they were to pick up 6 points as well. So, very, very interesting Premier League, Namibian Premier League table at the top and at the bottom as well. Interesting, interesting developments occurring in our local footballing league. Now, don't forget the number in the studio is 083-288-4001. And as I said at the top of the show today, we are talking about cycling. So we're going to listen to 2 pieces of content that will frame where cycling on the continent is in regards to its development, in regards to its growth. Some historic things have happened on the continent when it comes to cycling. And these two excerpts, I'll call them, or 2 pieces of content will do a great job of explaining that, whether it's on a competitive level or whether it's on a recreational level. And you'll see what I mean by that. Those of you that recall our coverage from the UCI Road World Championships in Kigali last year, where we heard from our East African brothers and sisters how cycling is a primary mode of transport for many, many people in the country. Majority of the country, I want to say. So, and they're not alone in that. That happens a lot in West Africa as well, in other parts of the continent as well. So maybe we'll see Namibian cycling to work, Namibian cycling to school on a more regular basis. I see some of them in and around town happening, but it doesn't happen in mass yet. It is still very much a hobby for many people, something that people do on the side. People including myself, I was in today's cycle challenge, but we'll talk about that in, let's say half an hour or so. I'll share my experience of that and we'll listen to some interviews we did there. We caught up with some of the winners, caught up with some of the organizers. So great show ahead. Don't forget, if you'd like to call in, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401. And today's trivia question of the day, that I forgot to say at the top of the show. Today's trivia question, if you can call in and tell me, when was the very first Nedbank Cycle Challenge, which was also, for additional context, the very first competitive race in the land of the brave? I kind of gave away the answer at the top of the show, so I won't give you any more hints, but the one hint I can give is that it happened a long, long time ago. So when you call in, keep that in mind, and you could stand a chance to be today's winner. But with that said, let's take a listen to a piece from Deve about cycling in Africa. Deve being Deutsche Welle News.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Make getting around easier in your city. Bicycles have a long history in Africa, especially as a means of transport. But in the big cities today, not very many people use a bicycle to commute. And there are good reasons for that. Safety being a major one. According to international standards, there are only 4,200 kilometers of road networks that are considered safe for commuter cycling in all of Africa. And most of those roads are in just 3 countries, being Uganda, Tanzania, and South Africa. So by that standard, it is essentially unsafe to commute by bicycle in most parts of Africa. So given that, we wanted to get a feel of what it's like to get around by bike in a major city. We've picked Africa's most popular city to check it out. Lagos is known to be very congested. People can spend up to 3 hours a day stuck in traffic. That adds up to a significant amount of time in lost productivity. So could using a bicycle like this one help? Our colleagues, Flores Ubani and Olisa Chukuma, put that to the test.
Cycling in Lagos is not for the faint-hearted. There are no dedicated cycling lanes. And drivers here in Lagos can be reckless, which means when you cycle, you are putting yourself at risk of accidents.
I think bicycle would be a risk on the way because most of these downfall drivers are not, I don't think they are okay upstairs. So I think it's very risky to ply a bicycle on this major way.
I'm in my car right now. I can lock my doors, I can seal my windows and have some safety net that nobody's going to come and harass me. But if I'm on the road and I'm cycling, heaven knows what's going to happen.
That's true. Driving might be the safe option, but it's slow. A 30-minute drive can easily become hours. On average, people in Lagos spend up to 3 hours in traffic. That's about 45 working days each year.
It's hell. I spend most of my time in traffic, actually, if you think about it, because I only spend 3 to 4 hours in the office and then I'm back on the road because I'm trying to beat the traffic and then I end up not beating the traffic because it's ridiculous. It's crazy.
After applying the traffic to work, you sometimes become very unproductive because you'll be tired, with backaches and all that, so it's very stressful.
Time spent in traffic not only affects our productivity, but also contributes to stress and mental fatigue. But I have to say, in some places, I felt really unsafe, so I had to get off the bike and drove by car until I reached a safer area.
Cycling in Lagos is not all smooth riding. The roads can be really rough and bumpy. I understand why not many people cycle here in Lagos.
Okay, so looking at that, Lagos by bike is not a smooth ride just yet. And that's also the case in Kampala. Walking and cycling are the most popular means of transport in Uganda, but are also the most unsafe. Now there is a concerted effort to make the country's roads safer for people cycling. The government has developed a so-called non-motorized transport policy, or NMT, to achieve that. I'll be talking to an urban planner in Kampala about it after this report on an initiative in Uganda that's working to promote cycling as a sustainable way to get around.
Sunday mornings often have less traffic in Kampala. An opportunity for Rosie Maweje to have a ride in the city. The 9-year-old is the youngest member of Fun Cycling Uganda, a group of local cycling enthusiasts.
Riding where there are no cars, it's fun and you can move. But riding where there are cars, you can't move and you have to stay in your line.
An affiliate of Critical Mass Uganda, Fun Cycling has about 100 members. The group regularly meets once a week to promote cycling as a sustainable fitness and cleaner mobility option.
You people, you should all cycle, because whenever you cycle, you're not polluting the air, you're not polluting the environment. There is no gas or any emission the bike is putting out. It's only your body, your legs, and your mindset.
But cycling side by side with heavy traffic on narrow roads can be dangerous. To address that, urban planners want city authorities to invest more in non-motorized transport infrastructure.
People shouldn't need to drive around their neighborhoods to go from home to church, to go from home to a shop, to the supermarket. These are journeys that can be easily made with non-motorized transport, even in the central business district. I think it's a recipe for creating smarter cities, more beautiful cities, but healthier population.
Kampala is now piloting the city's first car-free zone. The so-called NMT zone stretches for close to 2 kilometers, strictly for cyclists and pedestrians. Authorities are already seeing its benefits.
Roads are not built or constructed to move vehicles. Roads are constructed to move people. The moment roads focus only on vehicles and ignore people, then they are not safe. That's why we are saying, in all the interventions we are making as a government, there must be what you call NMT facilities.
It disturbs Rosie Maweje whenever heavy traffic pushes her on the periphery.
I feel scared, but one thing which you have to do, slow down but don't stop.
And as she completes her 20 kilometers for the day, Maweje wishes that infrastructure can be improved so that more people can join her for a ride.
My next guest initiated the car-free zone pilot concept in Uganda's capital, Kampala, that you just heard about in the report. Amanda Gabirano is an urban and regional planner. She chairs the National Physical Planning Board in Uganda, and she used to be the vice president of the World Cycling Alliance. That's an NGO advocating for bicycling transportation. Welcome to DW News Africa, Amanda. Tell us more about why Uganda is putting emphasis on cycling as a means of transport, as stated in the country's non-motorized transport plan.
So Uganda is trying to be more inclusive in terms of infrastructure design, not also because of just walking and cycling, but because those are the majority of people that are on the roads.
Right.
For long, they've been forgotten. The pedestrians have been forgotten. The cars been given so much attention for so many years. So I think it's now the right time for Uganda to, by example, and give a space to those that deserve to have it.
So, Amanda, tell us more about this concept that you initiated, the car-free zone. How's it working out and what's the objective?
The main objective was road safety and actually reducing the congestion in that area, improving the air quality, better business, and also enabling everybody to enjoy that space downtown town. And that space was always very crowded. So the main objective was to facilitate a smooth flow of traffic, but also facilitate the majority of the users of that road space.
As you're saying, right, a lot of people already commute by bicycle in Uganda, so, or at least in the capital. But so it's not necessarily about convincing people to get on the bicycle because people already are. But we know the statistics tell us that less than 2,000 kilometers are approved roads for cycling according to the international standards in Uganda. So give us a sense, Amanda, of what it's going to take, this effort, financially and otherwise, to make the roads safer for people on bicycles and people walking in Uganda?
I don't think that it's very easy as you are stating it, because the people that are cycling right now, I don't think that they are doing it out of choice. I think they are doing it because they have no other choice of moving around and about. And what we are trying to do is to allocate spaces for cyclists and pedestrians so that they can feel appreciated, and that mode is a mode of transport and they can choose it whenever they can. So we are trying to normalize it, but it's not that easy, because we are going to also lose this number if we don't provide for safe and attractive spaces for them. It's not going to be permanent, because everybody wants to have a car now to move conveniently, because we don't have those facilities yet. So that's not really the case. It's not as easy. Two, there's an attitude issue of the car is for the rich. So when you have a car, the status is higher. You feel richer with a car. That attitude is still there. So we still have to contain that. And we also respect people who are riding, people who are walking as car users, but also enabling the car user to feel that, yeah, I don't have to be to show myself that I'm rich, I'm poor because of the car, because of the bicycle, because I'm walking. So we still have to, it's the mindset issue.
If we look at the likes of Copenhagen, Amsterdam, these are ranked the best cities for cycling. They've got entire bridges, for example, dedicated to cyclists. You're talking about copy and paste. Are these templates replicable in our major cities, or do we need entirely different approaches in African cities?
Each city has its own template. It's a mistake for any city to try and copy another city and try to replicate exactly as it is. Because we have different cultures, we have different norms. But what is very important in this aspect of mobility is that the human behavior of movement is the same worldwide. People want comfort, they want convenience, they want safety, they want short trips, they want to pay less for their trips. So that is uniform. And I think that's a good thing to copy. Then the rest of the detail is something that has to comply with the local context. So we don't want to be Amsterdam. We don't want to be Copenhagen. We want to remain as Kampala, but provide road space for people to be safe.
On that note as well, I mean, just give us a sense of coming back to cycling specifically. How will our cities, our daily lives be better if more people, for example, got used to getting around on their bicycle?
I mean, people are spending so much money on transport, on fuel. The fuel prices are rising every day. And the time we are spending in congestion is something we shall not get back. People will benefit a lot in terms of reduction in the cost of travel, reduction in the time of travel, health benefits, because the obesity cases are going high. We are sitting in offices, we are sitting in traffic, children are sitting in traffic. I think when we enable children to go to school by bike, when we enable people going to work by bike, we are going to enable health livelihoods, healthy families, and this will also save government money on health. People should be connected to their places in the most convenient, affordable, healthy way. And this is cycling and walking. So this is something that is obvious, but doesn't really seem that obvious, unfortunately. Right.
Amanda Gavirano, thank you. Next, we go to Kenya, where the bicycle has long been a mode of transport and also a means to earn a living for many people. And as you're about to see in our next report, things are changing. But our correspondent, Felix Maringo, met one proud bicycle owner who says he doesn't plan on giving up his two-wheeler anytime soon.
It's early morning here in Kiambu, just outside Nairobi. Bicycle riders are out looking for customers. For Josphat Mali, this is how he makes a living.
On a good day, or even when business is bad, you won't lack the money to pay the rent. In one way or another, the bike is a stepping stone. I won't go to bed hungry, the kids won't sleep with empty stomachs, and life will go on.
Growing up, Joseph did not have a bicycle. It was owned by religious leaders, teachers, and the affluent in his community. This did not deter him from aspiring to be a bike owner.
My first payslip.
I had promised myself as a young person that I would buy a bike with my first payslip. So when I got my first salary, I met up with an old teacher who was selling his bike for 14 euros. But I ended up buying it for 10 euros. I still have a bike ever since 1997.
Since 97,
the bicycle is often the first form of mobility for many young people in this side of Africa. If you do not own one, then it becomes every child's dream to one day own a bike. Much as they are rapidly being replaced by motorcycles, the two-wheeled cycling machine has maintained its place in rural Africa, with most of the people in urban centers using it for fitness activities.
Times are changing and motorcycles are becoming more popular. They have capacity to ferry more goods and are faster compared to the bicycle. However, Josphat cannot afford one at the moment, and so he has to make do with what he has to keep life moving.
With the bike, when you are carrying goods, you have an advantage over someone from the market who is carrying a sack of potatoes on his back. If you put the sack on the bike, the rate at which he will get tired versus you on the bike is way different.
Even as Josphat and other cyclists continue to ferry customers and goods, the bike remains one of his most precious commodities.
Well, from one way of earning a living on a bike to another. Professional cycling in Africa historically doesn't have a solid foundation like other sports, but that's changing. And over the past decade, there are a number of organizations focused on bridging the gap between African youth and the sport of professional cycling.
Many obstacles exist for Africans aspiring to become elite cyclists, who want to test their skills with the best of Europe. Some have nothing to do with the sport.
When you're born in Africa, the first challenge is to get the document, the visa and the passport to come through to Europe.
For the other existing obstacles, there's help. The organization Team Africa Rising, founded in 2007, is working to grow the sport of cycling on the continent. They provide parts, equipment, and coaching.
Simon.
I don't want to be the face of African cycling. I want to just help train, teach, give all of our experience to African countries to run their sport. We have been focused since 2019 on working with Benin Cycling and West Africa, because that's kind of an untouched area of the African continent.
Focused on the youth, Team Africa Rising wants to find the next Binyam Gourmet. The 23-year-old is one of only two black Africans competing at this summer's Tour de France. At the 2022 Giro d'Italia, he became the first black African to win a Grand Tour stage. Team Africa Rising believes in Africa's cycling potential.
I 100% believe we'll see an African champion at the Tour de France. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that it was possible. It's 100% possible. The talent is on the African continent. I see it every day because I'm on the ground, and there's so much potential. And the only thing, well, the only things they're lacking is, you know, access to equipment, access to good training programs and coaches, mechanics. You know, we go in and we teach all of that.
Africa will see its first major cycling event in 2025 when Rwanda hosts the UCI Road World Championships, generating new excitement in African cycling.
My next guest got his first bicycle at the age of 14, and 6 years later, he was a professional cyclist competing at a very high level in the sport, including the Giro d'Italia competition. Songezo Jim joins me from Johannesburg. Welcome to DW News Africa, Songezo. Cycling as a sport is not very accessible in Africa. So how did you get into it?
Thanks for having me on the show. Cycling, as you say, is not an easy thing to get into it, especially for us coming from the disadvantaged communities, you know. So I got into it when I used to live in Cape Town.
Win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Wapungwa e data, oe dipungwa paife, richacha na parate zande tokara wakwa takanifwa, evi mbokeshe, pehena omalimbiriro. Kuchaneo owara oku streaminga, oku scrollinga, ile oku hustlinga online. Kareka kwe ya kuroloe alushe oku jako parate zlango na parekwa, toshiningi evi mbokeshe, kesha pauli, richacha evi mbokeshe oku pitira menire davodayo lokanga ashi, Airtime City, Parates Shop, Parates App, Parates Website, ile oku pitira ako self-service portal. Kapena shuta shukukerele oku Mona e akuro kujako paratesa toshiningi efimbokeshe omkaro waenderera opukulongifa no shokuinekerwa tarera po epanjara bonina ko recharge.paratesa.africa.
Parates. Let's continue.
In my aunt in Cape Town, and then there was a race that go past my house, so I asked the guys how to join the cycling club and stuff, and then I joined. And then, yeah, that's where it actually began. But when I joined the club, I didn't even know how to ride a bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, I find that incredible that in 6 years or a little bit more, you were able to turn pro. But let us in on what it's actually like competing as a professional cyclist. What does it take to perform at a very high level like you once did?
It takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work as well, you know. And you've got to be disciplined and dedicated in what you're doing, you know, because you spend a lot of time away from your family. that's not easy. And you have to put in all, every day, like 100%, you know, your training, your gym work, and nutrition, your sleeping hours, you know, all these things, they add up in you being the best possible athlete that you can be. So it's definitely not easy. Yeah.
I was looking at your Instagram and I see that you spend a lot of time training on the road, on the bicycle on the road. And I wondered, is it safe? Because we've been hearing from a number of people from different parts of the continent in the program today, just talking about how unsafe it is being on the road.
Yeah, it's definitely, it has changed. You know, it's no longer as safe as it used to be. And I think people, they need to be educated about cyclists, you know. And I mean, like, the road is for everyone to share, you know. So we just have to respect each other on the roads and make it more safe for everyone, you know. And it's good for the climate as well to get on bicycles, you know.
Songezo, the Tour de France is cycling's most prestigious competition. And last year, there were no black riders taking part. And in general, there are very few black riders who can actually say they've taken part in the Tour de France. From your perspective, what is the reason for the lack of this diversity in the sport at that level?
I think, yeah, most black riders are pretty much, they're coming from Africa. And first of all, we have no African team. That's first thing. So there are no riders getting that bridge to Europe. So, and it's not easy to get into European teams as an African rider, you know, with visa issues and all that kind of stuff, you know. But when you've got an African team, at least it's a little bit easier. So we definitely need to grow and get more people into cycling in order for us and have our own African team that's focusing on getting black cyclists into the Tour de France. Because at this stage, it's really not looking great.
Right. I mean, I find that interesting that you say we don't have an African team. The sport clearly needs to be developed further in Africa. And what do you think it will take to be able to do that? What kind of investment is needed? What kind of action is needed to develop cycling as a sport in Africa so that we do have an African team to represent us at the Tour de France one day?
Yeah, I think we do need some people to invest into the project. The right people running this project as well, but not doing the project for their own interest. For the interest of getting riders to where the riders need to get, you know, then in that way, if getting people to invest into the sport, then in that way, we will be able to go to the Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia and so many other races, you know.
Songezo, you sort of let us in on it a little bit, but you come from a disadvantaged background in South Africa. You've gone on to compete, as I said, at a high level at the sport. Just give us a sense, very quickly before we let you go, about how cycling has changed your life.
Cycling has changed my life in so many ways, you know. You get to travel the world, you get to meet different people and different cultures, but cycling is such a very hard and demanding sport, you know. So you need to be disciplined, your training, your preparation and all that, you know. So, yeah, cycling has taught me so many things, you know. So if you put in the hard work, you're going to get the results at the end, you know. So it's just about that, you know, put in the hard work and then the results will come.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much, Songezo Jim, talking to us from South Africa. We appreciate your time. Good having you on DW News Africa.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I'm now seriously considering getting on the bike more. Maybe it's too late for my pro career, but I can still reap the health benefits and do my bit for the environment while I'm at it. So how about you? Do you think cycling could be a way to get around in your city? Well, that's it for now. Be sure to check out our other stories on DW.com.
Yes, that was one of the pieces of content that I wanted us to digest. A few things I'd like to touch on before we move on to the next one. First one being what she said about cycling helping the environment. I think that one, in my personal opinion, that one is a bit overstated, truthfully speaking. I think for that to fully take effect, the whole city or the whole country would have to use bicycles as their primary mode of transport. You know, a small section of the population, for example, if we take Windhoek, if we have a population of around 500,000 people, let's call it that, we maybe have 1,000 cyclists, and that's pushing it. So I don't think those 1,000 people are doing bicycling like once or twice a week or however many times they cycle a week. Again, they do it leisurely. It is there to save the environment. So I think that point of conversation is one we can look past. But cycling as a means of transportation is one we can definitely zoom in on. And speaking from personal experience, I've used the bicycle as my primary mode of transportation before. It's definitely challenging, but it is possible. And in Ventuk itself, it is also quite challenging, but again, also possible. But then the whole issue comes of depending on how far you're coming from. You know, let's say if you're using it to get to work, is there a shower at your work, for example? Is there a safe place to store your bike, for example? Is the distance reasonable, for example? I mean, not how many people really can cycle, let's call it 10, 15 kilometers to work every single day, Monday to Friday. It becomes difficult. And if you have to do that twice a day, that's 30 kilometers a day. It's not easy. And then lastly, the safety issue. If you're using your bicycle as a primary mode of transportation, you kind of have to wait for, as a precautionary measure, you don't have to, but as a precautionary measure, you kind of have to wait for rush hour traffic to cease. Because, as I'm sure you are all aware, in Ventuk especially, there's some crazy drivers out there. And I can speak from experience. I've been hit by a vehicle before on a bicycle. It was not a fun time. I broke my arm, I broke my elbow, and I broke my wrist, excuse me, in the process. So it's definitely a risk, but it's a risk worth taking, really. It's a risk worth taking. And after this next piece, we'll hear from some people as to why it is a risk worth taking. And this one is going to be on the backdrop of Binyam Girmay. Sorry, I always forget his surname. Binyam Girmay, the Ethiopian cycling legend that they made reference to in this piece. So let's take a look at this one after. This was now released after he won a stage at the Tour de France, the only black African rider to do so.
An Eritrean cyclist has made history at this year's Tour de France. Binyam Girmay has become the first black African to win a stage during the famous race. Celebrating the moment, the 24-year-old rider dedicated his stage 3 victory to the continent of Africa. Later posting on social media, "Let me open the door," a reference to his ambition to inspire more Africans to take up the sport.
Tour de France is also a really big motivation for the local riders, because this is one of the most known race in Asmara. So I think our achievement, it can help them a lot. So I'm still hoping to shine more and then to give them more motivation.
David Kinja, Kenyan cycling pioneer and former pro, joins us from Naramoru in Kenya just after a ride. Good to have you on the program with us. What's your reaction to Binyam Girmay's achievement at the Tour de France?
It's more easily go like, But this is a great achievement for all of Africa. You know, we've been waiting for so long to get somebody who can win stages for us. And, you know, Binyam Girmay is more of a sprinter, and he can already do these things. He won the Giro d'Italia stage 2 years ago, and now the Tour de France. We need to have now our African riders winning the mountain stages, because we are more of lighter and mountain people than sprinters. But this is incredible feat for Girmay.
What does it take to get to that level?
It's a lot of hard work, you know, patience, a lot of determination. You know, you have to overcome a lot of challenges coming all the way from Africa into the heart of Europe, into the heart of the biggest challenge in cycling ever. And looking at Eritrea, such a small country that has been in war for many, many, many years, So this is the real winning of the war that has been in their land, and this is huge for Africa.
Can you tell us about your experiences as a pro cyclist from Kenya, from Africa, and how the scene has changed since that time?
Everything changes, and recently things changing very, very quickly because of the advancement of technology, obviously. I was among the first black Africans to actually go into the heart of Europe and actually get to sign a professional contract with a professional team in Italy. Back in the days, that is 2000, 2001, 2003, there were very, very few black Africans finding their way into the European cycling scene. I was lucky enough that I got sponsored by Shimano to ride a big mountain bike race in Australia, which was the version, basically the mountain bike version of Tour de France back in the days. That was the Crocodile Trophy in Australia. And from this event, I finished seventh overall, and I quickly got an Italian team interested in signing me in to try road, but they were not very sure that I can do road cycling. But when they realized that I was actually a road cyclist more than a mountain biker, so I ended up going to Bergamo in Italy, and I signed a two-year contract with Index Alexia. But unfortunately, the team collapsed in the beginning of 2003 season.
What were those major challenges you faced? You mentioned you did get this sort of sponsorship deal, but I'm guessing finances is usually one of the major things that would affect cyclists on the continent. How did you deal with these issues? How did you overcome them?
Yeah, African survivors, that's what we call, you know, we call them survivors on the bicycle. So the first and foremost is the bicycle is a tool for them to survive. You know, it's a working tool. They use it everywhere. But, when it comes to sports and competition wise, then you need to oftenly update the equipment, and you have to train, and you have to ride a lot. And this means you need money, you need budgets. And this is where the challenge number one comes in.
Right. And another form of leadership, you mentored the cycling legend Chris Froome. How important is this kind of mentorship on the local scene and local support in developing cycling talent in Africa?
Yeah, there's a lot of groups now coming up and realizing that it is very beneficial to do the grassroots work. That is to develop young boys and girls into the sport, you know, at an early age. We have here in Kenya now INEOS setting up a camp in Iten where the runners come from, and recruiting lots of youngsters to learn early. And then we have the Kenyan Riders, and of course my project, the Safari Simbas, with Chris Froome on board supporting me. And we see the importance of grooming these people young. And when you look into the history of Eritrea, they had lots of this kind of grooming coming through the ages. And you see people like Binyam Grimae. These are like the third, fourth generation of efforts done in the past. So we are looking in the same way in East Africa.
Right. David Kinja, Kenyan cycling pioneer, we appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's speak to Kimberly Coates, CEO of Team Africa Rising, a nonprofit organization that promotes and supports cycling development in Africa. Good to have you on the program, Kimberly. You've spent years supporting cycling as a sport in Africa. Just how big is Binyam Grimae's achievement for the sport on the continent?
It's huge. It's an epic moment for African cycling, and Binyam's win is all about representation, and representation matters. And he is the only Black African in the Pro Peloton at the Tour de France. And our kids throughout the continent see that, and they see him win, and they too believe.
Right. Well, we'll get to that development stage in a bit. But just looking at that level, that top level, what are the main barriers for African cyclists when they're competing, at levels like that at the Tour de France?
It begins with them as really young children having even access to a bike. And then it's about access to races. There's not a lot of races on the continent, and the races that are there are not at the highest levels. So some of the challenge becomes, how do we get the kids to Europe? Europe is the gold standard. That's where they learn the most. Then you have the challenge of visas, because getting especially juniors into Europe to train is really challenging. And, you know, the cost of it all. I mean, you have kids in Europe and kids in America who have parents that have credit cards. Our kids are sometimes the breadwinners of their families, and they have to support families on top of that. So pretty much by the time one of our African riders makes it to the start line of a race like the Tour de France, they have overcome so much just to get to that point.
Hmm. You deal with them on the ground. What kinds of programs does Team Africa Rising run?
We look at it from a holistic perspective. So not only are we looking for and training cyclists, but we're also training coaches. We're training mechanics. We're building mechanic networks. And those in turn end up becoming mechanic and bike shops. So that it also provides income. We train soigneurs, administrative staff, because we do know that most kids will not make it to Binium's level. Just, it's super competitive, and they might not make it. So if they're not going to make it, what can they do within the sport? How do we keep them in the sport and make it so that they can have an income and continue to grow the sport long after we're gone?
And if you're to grow the sport, what needs to happen for more of them to truly get to that stage? What are the key things?
The key things are investment. We need lots of money. There's groups like ours that work on the ground, but our budget is super small, and we do a lot with a little bit of money. We're only talking a couple $100,000 is what we work with. And it's a matter of collaborating with all the different groups working on the ground. It's federations, because federations are really strong on the continent. It's about federations knowing more about the sport and not succumbing to corruption that is rife throughout the sport, at the federation level. And it's about, we have to do something about the visa issue. That is our biggest stumbling block. I have a young woman who was signed by Canyon Shram Wildlife in Uganda, and she can't get her visa. And it's just frustrating, because she's talented. She's got the skills to make it. I have a team that wants her, and we can't get her out of Uganda. So that's our biggest challenge.
Right. You've spoken about the young woman there. We've seen a black African man have this huge achievement. What about the women's, the continent's women? What are their chances on the big stage?
You know, they have the talent. The talent is there. It's getting them access to good equipment, proper training, coaching, nutrition. But then with women, you have a whole nother side of it, which is cultural. Women are not seen as the group that should be riding bikes. And generally the women get whatever is left after the men get everything. You also have cultural issues with families not understanding why a woman would want to race. In some countries, they get married super young. There's so much pressure to have children, get married, have children. And those are all things, in addition to all the challenges we have with men, that we then stack on with women.
Okay. We'll be looking to see how things develop over time. Kimberly Coates, it's been great having you on the program. Kimberly Coates, CEO of Team Africa Rising.
Thank you so much.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katutura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katutura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. So there was some context into what cycling is, what level it's at on the continent, and Biniam, who obviously is an icon forever, legend forever in the world of cycling and in the world of African cycling in particular. In Rwanda, Biniam, he kind of had this I don't want to say disdain, but he was kind of, let me say, fed up with the whole "I'm the first black African to win a stage" and so on. Of course, he was happy to have won that stage, but overall, his message was: as a continent, we need to do more than just participate. We need to do more than just be numbers that tick off a certain maybe like diversity quota or anything like that. He was adamant that it's not enough that we are now just participating. His opinion, which I 100% agree with, was that it's time now to compete. It's time to be in and around the podium or on the podium itself. And I couldn't have said better myself. And obviously he pointed to the huge gap in resources, which was referenced in the video as well. He was saying that, look, as much as we want to say we're now participating, there's still a huge gap in terms of the access to good bikes, the access to good coaches, the access to good training facilities that our athletes have with the rest of the world. But hopefully, in the next year or so, Namibia is proving that we can produce athletes. South Africa, as we know, always has a pipeline of athletes in seemingly every sport. So hopefully the growth of cycling coincides with the growth or the increase in international competition winners that come from the continent. I mean, speaking of Namibia, we've seen the likes of Roger Searing go to Europe and win competitions. We've seen the likes of Olivia Shililifa go to, where was that, Eswatini, and win competitions. So we've seen the likes of Delcia go places and win. We've seen the likes of Alex Miller, Dricus Kutia, and so on and so on and so on. So we're on the right track in cycling as a country, as a continent. Now let's move on to the Nedbank Cycle Challenge. The 40th edition of the prestigious competition named the greatest ride under the sun is what they call it. So before we play the interviews, let me give you some of the winners. So we'll start with the overall winners in the quote unquote elite category. So this is in the men's 100 kilometer men's overall category. In first place, former Olympian and 3-time national road champion, that is Mr. Alex Miller. Finishing in second was Martin Fryer, and finishing in third was Christian van der Vesthuizen. And in a stellar performance, honestly, both Christian and Nathan, who technically are in junior categories, but Christian finished third overall, and Nathan Chase, who is 17 years old, finished fourth. On the women's side of things, the overall champion in the 100 kilometer category for the women was 18-year-old Delcia Janssen van Vuren. In second place was 17-year-old Rosemary Teal. And in third place was Belinda van Rijn, who won the solo category in the 2024 Nedbank Desert Dash. In the 60 kilometer category, young Micah Chase, that's Nathan's brother, who's 15, he is the overall winner. In second place was York Arendt, who is also alongside Micah. They actually compete in the under 16 category, but they won the overall, which had men of all ages. And in third place was Devin Farmer. The 100-kilometer junior men's category or boys category is Christian van der Vesthazen finished first, Nathan Chase finished second, and in third was Marco Thiel. In the junior women's division, which we'll hear about from Delcia now about the participation levels of the female Namibian cyclists. In the junior category was only one female rider, and that was Rosemary Thiel, of course. And yeah, those are the major results at this year's Nedbank Cycle Classic. So now let's get into some interviews. We'll start with the kids challenge, because there was a kids challenge that took place on Saturday. This was for riders between the ages of 2 and 10 years old. And we'll listen to program coordinator Ms. Shannon, who will give us some more details. Let's take a listen.
Okay, yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Charmaine Shannon from T-Rex Training Tribe. We are here today for the Kids Cycle Classic, not a cycle classic, but the Nedbank Classic. We usually host the Cycle Classic in October, also the kids race. We host the Nedbank race for the kids. It's been a while that we didn't host the Nedbank race for the kids, but this, we are very glad and happy to be back. So the kids race is for kiddies 2 years old until 10 years old. And there were some 11, 12 years olds that don't see the bravery to go on the main road yet, which is great, and we allow it. So now the race was blocked into blocks of age groups. So the little ones, four, 2, 3, and 4 year olds, they first race.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Five, six, 7 year olds raced one lap, and then the 8 year and older raced boys and girls, because then it gets serious, then they race very serious and hard. The races are all planned not to be too competitive. It is competitive, it's fun. They come first or whatever, but all of them get a race pack and socks, and we want to promote it like that, because yeah, race and have fun and win and feel good about yourself because you did win. But the others at the back, they must also feel good about themselves, so they must enjoy the race with their family and friends and in the outdoors. So this Nedbank Classic Cycle for Kiddies and the Cycle Classic for Kids and T-Rex Tribe's own cycle races for the kids is all a development building block for their future, for their development in life and for their development in sport. Usually the little ones stay with us and then other coaches take over and they go do the big Nedbank Classic, which is great. So yeah, this is a great day for the kids and the development for the kids. The parents appreciate it because the kids also have something to do, what is in the parents' interest. So yeah, and T-Rex Tribe is very pleased to be part of it and to help the kids.
And lastly, how did the kids enjoy today?
Ooh, they enjoyed it a lot. There was no one crying. Everyone was happy. They loved the generous race pack. So whoever was the sponsors for money and Leandro and Nedbank for the organizing for the race pack, they were very happy about the generous race pack. And also definitely the socks, that was a good incentive. And we are very thankful that there are incentives that come from the sponsors.
That was Ms. standing on the kids challenge that took place on Saturday for young kids between the ages of 2 and 10. Now, let's go to the overall women's winner, Miss Delcia Janssen. Delcia Janssen van Vuren, excuse me.
Joined by Delcia Janssen van Vuren, the ladies champion of the 100 kilometers of the 2026 Nedbank Cycle Challenge. Delcia, tell us how, firstly, congratulations, and tell us how it was out there.
Yeah, thank you. Today was quite fun. It was lovely weather to ride in. Not as blazing hot as Namibia is normally. It was quite a fun race. It was quite interesting with not having Anya, so I sort of had a target on my back today. It was quite fun having the target on my back. It makes racing quite different to normally. It was super fun. And Kupferberg definitely made it very interesting. Yeah. That is sort of where the race, where all the moves were made and tactics were made and so on. That's where the race unfolded for us. Because our bunch sort of, stuck up until Kupferberg. And then, I made the first attack going up past the checkpoint before we went down Mamba. Then Marie, Belinda and Monique caught back up to me and Louise as well. And then, I was just like, okay, now, so steady tempo to the top, see who you can drop, but don't, like, blow yourself. And then eventually it was just Belinda, Marie and myself. And then, we had a sprint finish.
And as a female rider, what do you think about the turnout at this year's Cycle Challenge?
So I would say definitely, I think the women, there could have been a bit more numbers for the women. But, for the 100K, I think it was still great. A lot better than we had at Nationals last weekend. It was great. But I'm definitely hoping to see more women on the bike at Cycle Challenge next year.
So another win for you today. What else can the people expect from you this season?
So Thursday I'm hopping on a plane to go to Cape Town for the first SA Cup in Spice Route. I'll be there for the whole week. And then I'll also race Cycle Tour with my team Customize in South Africa. And then, after that, we'll sort of see where the wind takes me.
Congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Women's champion, the young rising star, Delcia Janssen van Vuren, giving us her thoughts. Now, let's take a listen to the president of the Namibia Cycling Federation, that is Mr. Tauko Shilongo.
Joined by the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation, who also took part in the 2026 Nedbank Cycle Challenge. This is Mr. Tauko Shilongo. Tauko, how was the challenge for you today?
Well, they say lead by example, so I didn't decide to take part. It's one of those boxes that we need to tick. I need to set an example for many other federation leaders to partake in the sports that they lead. And then, obviously, it wasn't crucial because I have been training with the captain. And this race is really not about me. It's about my new day. It's about the title sponsor. It's about the federation. It's about the organizers. But most importantly, the center pivot of all these races is the athletes and the riders. Congratulations to the winner. I'm Alex Miller and I'm Delcia Janssen from Vuren. It's well organized. The race started on time. The weather is phenomenal. What else can you ask for?
Now, can you share with us what distance you did today?
I did the average one. I did 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
And speaking of the title sponsor Nedbank, we see a lot of riders out today. Well, as the president of the federation, what do you think about the turnout today?
I mean, the turnout is plus minus 250 riders. I mean, what can you ask for? In a small country with a small population of Namibia, 250 riders is huge, is humongous. So what we want is to call all the riders. I mean, this is all about fun. It's all about recreation. It's all about health. So yeah, I'm very happy.
Thank you very much for your time.
Good, thank you.
All right, joined by the
president of the Namibia Cycling Federation, Tauko Shilongo, as he said, leading by example. That was actually a very interesting point. Trying to think if there's any other sports where I see the president or the CEO actively joining in the sport, whether it's just, recreational like he explained there, or None really come to the top of my mind. Now I'm thinking of the major sports now. Obviously swimming would be a difficult one to do that. Cricket would also be a rather difficult one to do that. Rugby, of course, the same difficult. will be interesting. It will be interesting to hear from other cycling, not cycling, other sporting federation presidents about do they actually participate in the sport, even recreationally, of the sports that they lead. But yeah, we heard there Mr. Tago Shilongo expressing joy, really, joy and happiness about the this year's Nedbank Cycle Challenge. Now let's take a listen to a group of cyclists from the physically active youth that came to the ranks at the physically active youth, led by Japhet Amukushu, who's also going to be in the interview. Let's take a listen to them. This is an example of what the development of cycling in various communities can do.
Alright, I'm joined by PJ, Aisha, Prince, and Nate, and they're all going to share their experience at the 2026 Nedbank Cycle Challenge. We'll start with Nate. Nate, how was it today? We'll start with Nate. Nate, how was it today?
Today was quite not that challenging. It was great. I didn't feel any pain, so yeah, I put in the training for the whole week. So I would say, yeah, the race was so great. And the challenging was just a pacing part where people didn't want to walk. So we had to do the walk. And yeah, coming back was so pretty fast. So yeah, we managed to be in the sprint, me and Prince. Yeah.
PJ, how was it for you?
The race was fun. It was hard in the beginning. Tried to go in the early move. Still don't have the form on riding on the front. Blew up a bit. Got caught by the bunch. Got counted. Couldn't respond or go with. So I had to race from the back. But I was feeling well. Legs opened up. So yeah, had a lot of fun today chasing. And then yeah, finished strong.
Aisha, how was it for you?
The race was good, in my opinion. It was fun. The weather was perfect. It was a little bit windy going, but coming back, it was a good descent. Could catch a lot of speed. So overall, quite fun. Yeah.
For me, I enjoyed the race. Mentally ready, physically ready. And I just had a game plan, which was to stick to the front as much as possible, which went well. And just to manage my speed and everything else, feed, not to panic and all that. So after that, I just sat with the guys, came to the sprint, and then later on it went on. And then also I had some technical issues, but then that didn't stop me from what I wanted to achieve. So yeah, overall, it was the best race for me.
Thank you, guys. Alright, I'm joined by PJ.
Group of cyclists there giving us their insight. Now for the, let's call it main event. We got to speak to the head of marketing of Nedbank Namibia, that is Mr. Gernot de Klerk, who gave us his time. And also it was revealed this, at this cycle challenge, that he's actually going into early retirement. So this was his final act of service, so to say, to the cycling community as the head of Nedbank Namibia. So let's take a listen to what he had to say. And there is some background music, but he's still very much audible. Let's take a listen.
All right, we are now joined by Gernot de Klerk, the head of marketing at Nedbank Namibia. At the 2026 Nedbank Cycle Challenge, the 40th one. From your point of view, Gernot, how was it this year?
It's been a fantastic one, you know. When you've got a heritage as deep as the Nedbank Cycle Challenge, first race started in 1986, and you've got a success recipe, you know, year in, year out, that's the same recipe. You run the risk of it becoming stale. The good thing is that you know all of the logistical sort of nightmares that you can experience. So this year was a sweet cut coming to the Union Sports Fund. So clearly new route, new challenges, but it went off so well. And we're so happy with the outcome that I think the Nedbank Cycle Challenge for sure found a new home.
Yeah. And you said 1986, long before I was here. Can you share with us, why does Nedbank involve themselves so much in cycling? What is it about the sport of cycling that Nedbank seems to connect with so heavily?
Yeah, the answer lies in 1986. Yeah. You know, if I was being honest, That was the first competitive cycling race that was ever hosted in the country. And since then, road racing has become part of our culture, part of our DNA. But we also quickly realized the growth of the sport, the opportunities in it. And in 2013, there was that strategic decision to say that everybody wanted to dominate cycling. And we have the biggest cycling races in the country, Netbank Pamadia Coach Park. But I think the success is measured for us in one, the enjoyment of people coming out to our races and experiencing something that is quite unique and quite special, and so they will remember it. But, you know, it goes into national pride. The fact that we have Olympians that have come through the ranks. Alex Miller, the champion today, is one. Deltia Jansen van Vieren will go on and achieve amazing things. She already has made an album on the continental stage.
Yeah.
But Mani Heyman, you can call those names.
Dan Nathan Chase.
The Chase brothers are coming through quite strongly. So for us, it's the sustainability of the sport, the passion of people, the volunteers, the cycling clubs, the participants, the passion that they display, and we're seeing the results of the national level. And so then, we look back on 40 years and say, it's a job well done. The effort has taken a long time to build it, but now that we have that dominant position, I'm not talking about that criteria, I'm speaking about the nation of power. That's something that we must do.
100%. And lastly, today we heard it, this will be your final cycling event for Netbank. So in your time at Netbank, from when this all started until today, so, from your personal point of view, how has the growth of cycling been? I mean, we saw hundreds of people out today. Just share with us your insight in that regard.
It's been a bittersweet moment. We've known for the past 6 months that I was going to call it a day. Particularly in time at the end of April. So I've always looked at all of the events that we run, the Netbank Greater Dash, the Netbank Cycle Challenge. It's the last time that I'll be here in Netbank Dallas. I'll still come out, I'll still support it, because I believe in the growth of the sport. But for us, I think, you know, if we have looked back long before my time as well, if we look back 1986 and we look to this day, would the Netbank of 1986 have said a job well done? And I think the answer is a resounding yes. So I take personal pride in just how we've seen the sport develop. You know, a few years ago, you think Olympians, and it's Agnes Amaria, it's Lucas Suarte, it's Frank Fredericks, those are the names.
Yeah.
You know, and since then it's become Bassingweight, Van Haven, Vera Lorsa, Alex Miller. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think what cycling can do as a whole, thanks to the Namibian Cycling Federation and the cycling clubs, as hold out, hold on, and say, you know, we've been doing a fantastic job, but we must never let up. The focus has always got to be there. And when the corporate support it, when you've got passion from a participant perspective, and you've got passion from those who organize it, it's a winning recipe. And so we punch way above our weight when it comes to the cycling season. Way above our weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the South Africans have perennially been good. Egyptians, we know, are good in sport. The Rwandans have dominated cycling.
Yeah.
And now Namibia, a small nation of only 3 million people, you know, with a small cycling pool. And yet, you know, we're cycling on international stages. We're competing on international stages, and, you know, from a nation perspective, beyond just Netbank, as a Namibian, and as a proud patriot of this country, so well done to the cycling pool.
100%. And we also thank you for all your contributions and wish you the best of luck in your early retirement.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Mr. Gernot de Klerk, head of marketing at Netbank Namibia, giving us his thoughts and sharing that he's actually going into early retirement. So undoubtedly, he has helped with the growth of cycling in the country through his position as head of marketing at Netbank Namibia, with all the different events, cycling events that Netbank sponsors. I mean, from the top of my mind, I can think of the Cycle Challenge, I can think of the City Dash, I can think of the Netbank Desert Dash. There might be one or two more that I'm missing, but even if it's just those three alone, great contributions to the cycling community, to the sport of cycling. And that is a wrap on the 2026 Nedbank Cycle Challenge. The trivia question is still unanswered, which is, tell me, well, I cannot actually give the answer away now, but tell me, when was the first competitive cycling event in Namibia? The number in the series is 0832888401. And don't forget, tomorrow the Villager newspaper is being published. All you have to do to subscribe is send a WhatsApp message and save the following number as a contact. Save it as the Villager, save it as Eagle FM, whatever you want. Just make sure you save it. That is 081-241-44, 081-200-4144. And let us know that you'd like to become a subscriber and we'll add you in the blink of an eye. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, you will get the paper straight to your lovely and loved mobile device. So let's take a short musical break before we wrap up here on the Eagle Sports Zone. We'll be back right after this.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Oh, picket lines, sides. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Right on. Oh, but who would they judge us simply because our hair is long? Oh, you know we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Right, right on. 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 Right on.
I'll be giving the most high. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only Him know how we get through every day. Only I give the price, I'm a leg we have to pay. While our leaders play, all I see, people are rip and a rob, all are grime. Thieves never love a city with long bag. No love for the people who are suffering bad. Another toll to the poor, may God help us all. What is to stop the youth from getting out of control? Full of our education, yet no own a payroll. The clothes from me back have countless eyes old. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only Him know how we get through every day. With only I give the price, I'm a leg we have to pay. While our leaders play, we say, who can afford to run, will run. But what about those who can't? They will have to stay. Opportunity, a scarce commodity. In this time I say, when mama spend her last, I send you go class. Never you ever play. It's a competitive world for low budget people, spending the time while earning a nickel, with no regard to who it may tickle. My cup is full to the brim. I could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Though this life it gets me down, won't give up now, got to survive. Some way, somehow. I could go on and on, the fullest life I've been told. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only Him know how we get through every day. With only I in the price, I'm a leg we have to pay. While our leaders play, all I see, people are rip and a rob, all are grime. Thieves never love is the thief with long bag. No love for the people who are suffering bad. Another toll to the poor, may God help his soul. What is to stop the youth and get out of control? Full up of education, yet no own a payroll. Be close by your back of countless eyes old. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only Him know how we get through every day. Only I keep the price, I'm a leg we have to pay. While our leaders play, they say, who can afford to run, will run. But what about those who can't? They will have to stay. Opportunity, a scarce commodity. In this time I say, when mama spend her last, I'll send you the class. Never you ever play. It's a competitive world for low budget people, spending their time while earning a nickel, with no regard for who it may tickle. My cup is full to the brim. I could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Could go on and on, has never been told. Who go on and on, the fool has never been told. Who go on and on, the fool has never been told. Who go on and on, the fool has never been told. Who go on and on, the fool has never been told.
Sounds of Buju Bantan. And update before I let you go this evening, before the matriarch comes to take over. It is now 2-1 in the Arsenal fixture. Ebrecha Eze opened the scoring. Colin Mwani equalized for Spurs. And Victor Gyokeres put the Gunners back in the lead in the second half. It is now the 58th minute. In that one, and as things stand, if the result were to remain this way in the league, Arsenal will have a 5-point lead at the top of the table. So very, very big fixture for the Gunners. They have to win this one if... they are serious about winning the league, which they tell us that they are. But this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Thank you for tuning in once more. And I'll see you again next week, same time, same place, live on your favorite talk radio station.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Hogora okuhinga ondapo jiyufa beha joku hinga ondapo ya pitirira hogora okutaguru kira po mataguru kiro beha joku pita owarasha mpoka hogora ishewe okurundula omataera goe beha joku kukutu hogora okuninga shukasha mojira mwopatevetu eto kupita omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Was fat to sand in the style. In the second half, but in the style, it's a second half. Was fat to sand. Was fat to sand in the style. It's a second half. But in the pickle, I do. I see the